Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When it comes to investments, you need more than hope. So pay attention. Don't be a dope.
Here it comes, the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
Joe Doniger is with us. Joan, how are you on this Monday? Your work week is beginning. It's always a lot of fun on Wall Street. And here we go. Airlines want government to do more. Who does not with this coronavirus?
That's true. The resurgence of the coronavirus has the airlines worried, and they're asking governments around the world to do more testing, introduce travel bubbles, all to help prop up demand for travel. Airlines have started to roll back their earlier predictions that were calling for air traffic to increase gradually towards normal levels this quarter. Yeah, well, airlines carried 1 million passengers on one day about a week or so ago. Travel is actually about at the level it was more than 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you just go through those TSA lines. I went through them last week, and it's a fraction of, not even a fraction, it's a minuscule fraction of what it was even a year ago. It's amazing.
You walk right through.
So I'm not in the market for a new car. Some people are, but if they are, it's not quite as easy as it's been. What's going on here?
Well, the pandemic has led to something of a dwindling stockpile of new cars. Factory production has, yes, caught up from the spring shutdowns. But the Wall Street Journal says, you know, buyers who don't want to use public transportation or who are moving out of cities to suburbs and are buying cars, well, they're snapping them up at such a fast pace, it's led to inventory shortages.
Wow. Well, good for them, I guess. What about toy sales? I went out and bought a teething ring this weekend. Not for me,
no.
But for my grandson. but I guess toy sales are up, huh?
Yeah, they are. Hasbro doesn't have the big movie tie-ins for its toys because of the pandemic. You know, no new movies really released. But it did benefit from a boost in toy buying throughout the pandemic. And like Mattel, it saw a pretty strong quarter. Parents have been flocking to more familiar products, things games, Monopoly, Magic, The Gathering, helping kids pass the time. That game segment led Hasbro sales.
Well, that's good. Monopoly may teach them a little bit about money. That's always good,
too. There
you go. Bob Murray was a big name in fossil fuel, big coal guy, and I guess he's no longer with us, is he?
Yeah, less than a week after announcing his retirement from the largest privately owned U.S. coal company, former CEO Robert Murray died at the age of 80. He was the founder, president, and CEO of the American Consolidated's predecessor, Murray Energy. It filed for bankruptcy last year, just emerged from the process. He was best known for his fight against regulation of the coal industry.
Well, that stinks. You retire and you're gone in a week. Good Lord. Stock market will open up. The bell will ring here in about an hour and 20 minutes. What are we looking at?
Nothing good. On Wall Street, there isn't much hope for a new package of coronavirus aid before the election. So S&P futures are down 36, NASDAQ futures 101, Dow futures down 303 points. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Joan Doniger on News Radio 700 WLW.
Thank you, Joan. It's 8:11. Glad you are with us on this Monday. Good morning. Ken Brew for Mike McConnell. It will be a monumental day at the Capitol in Washington because along about 7:25, 7:30 tonight, Mitch McConnell will call to order a vote on the next Supreme Court Justice, Amy Coney Barrett. The Republicans say they've got the votes. In fact, I don't think McConnell would call to order a vote unless he thought he had the votes. But now that it appears he has the votes, exactly what happens with the Supreme Court? Somebody that studies the Supreme Court, knows it inside out, and has been a good guest to this program is Andy Trusevich. He is a legal expert, and he joins us now here on 700 WLW. Andy, how are you on this glorious Monday?
I am just fine. And Ken, good morning. Thank you for having me.
It sounds like fait accompli. They've got the votes. I'm wondering, Collins in Maine said she will not vote for Barrett. She doesn't like the process. She thought it was rushed. Murkowski in Alaska said she didn't like the process, but she will vote for Amy Coney Barrett. Sounds like maybe the two of those made a deal. What do you think?
Well, I think if Collins was not up for a re-election and in a very tight race that she's probably going to lose, she would come out for Amy Coney Barrett. But I think she's doing this as a last ditch effort to try to hold on to her seat. If you'll notice, when the Democrats tried to do a filibuster, the Republicans, McConnell invoked what they call Senate Rule 22, which is cloture, and that ends a filibuster. Murkowski and Collins both voted against that cloture measure, so it passed by 51 Republicans. So I think Murkowski, she has to vote for Amy Coney Barrett. She's up for re-election in 2 years. If she voted against ACB, I think Republicans would run against, some Republican would run against her in a primary. So he does have the votes. The Democrats tried to filibuster. Harry Reid invoked cloture, which means it limits 2 days and then 30 hours of discussion. That's why they were meeting all weekend, to burn up that 30 hours.
Yeah.
That ends today, so you're right. There'll be a vote tonight at approximately 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, and I predict there'll be 52 votes for her. And I don't know if the Democrats are going to boycott. If they do, it will be 52-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in case Mike Pence is standing by, it doesn't seem like they'll need him. The wild card in all of it, well, I guess Collins was the wild card, and Murkowski to a degree. But the wild card in all of this was Romney. And Romney, I think, views himself as the new John McCain. He's going to be the maverick. He's going to buck
right.
the system, which is, you know, just folly. The guy, you know, well, I won't get into what I think about Mitt Romney, but it's not good, I can tell you that. But he was the wild card in all of this, but very early on, he signed on to this. And I don't think, I think that was a surprise to some, but I don't think it should be a surprise. I mean, politically, he needed to do that, didn't he?
Absolutely. It would be the same thing. If he voted against ACB, then the Republicans would run somebody against him in the next election during the Republican primary. So I don't think he really had much choice. And even if he did, and it was just Collins and Romney, it's still going to be 51. And, you know, under Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution, all McConnell needs is a simple quorum, meaning 51 senators to be present.
Right.
And if for some reason there was just 50 and you couldn't get a quorum, then the sergeant-at-arms would go find a Democrat and bring them in forcibly like they did in 88 with Bob Packwood. He was literally brought in feet first, carried in, so then they had a quorum, and then they voted. So that could have happened, and the last time it happened was 88 with Bob Packwood.
There are tens of millions of Republicans in this country that would love to see the sergeant-at-arms drag Chuck Schumer in by his heels. That would be the optic, wouldn't it?
Bob Packwood actually broke his finger resisting, and he was carried in, and obviously he didn't vote for it, but you have to have 51 senators present, even if that's 50 Republicans and one Democrat. So unless the Democrats all hide somewhere where the sergeant-at-arms can't find them, it's going to pass tonight.
The optic of, if it happens, no Democrat showing up is one thing. The reality is another. Now, we don't know what's going to happen a week from Tuesday. Very well could be that there is a blue tsunami and
right.
that the House and the Senate and the White House all fall to the Democrats a week from tomorrow. The optic is one thing. The reality may be that they will go ahead and move to pack the court. In other words, add judges of their liking, and turn it into a complete political arm of the branches of government, as opposed to what it is now, which are judges in some cases, like Barrett, who will be seated, that have a conservative bent, but are not just right out rabid, let's change the way this country operates from a legal standpoint. How real do you think that would be if indeed that blue tsunami happens?
That's really the $68,000 question. And it is, if Biden does that, if the House passes it and they want to pack it to 15, let's say, or 13, and the House passes it, the Senate passes it, and it gets on his desk, I just can't imagine Biden doing that, because when the pendulum swings back, the Republicans will then turn around and say, all right, fair game, and we'll pack it to 17. And I just can't imagine that. And if you remember when Kavanaugh was confirmed, Democrats said, oh, we're going to impeach him. There's only been one Supreme Court justice in the entire history of the United States that was impeached. That was Samuel Chase, appointed by Washington. And Chase liked Adams' political views. When Jefferson came in, they clashed, and Jefferson convinced the House to impeach him. but he went to the Senate and he was acquitted. And the only other one that actually resigned before an impeachment was Abe Fortas, who was appointed by LBJ. Yeah. And before they could start impeachment proceedings for financial improprieties, he resigned. So I think they make a lot of suggestions that just don't happen. It's very difficult to impeach a Supreme Court justice. Only one's been impeached, and he wasn't removed.
Andy Trusevich is our guest. He's a legal expert. We're talking about Amy Coney Barrett, who should be confirmed to the Supreme Court tonight with a vote that should start at around 7:25, 7:30. Okay, let's talk about Judge Barrett. She'll have in front of her, sooner than later, two very important pieces. One is
correct
with relation to a part of Obamacare. The other could be this election. And I think it's going to be fascinating if this election does carry itself into the courts, much like 2000 between Gore and Bush. It'll be fascinating to see what happens here. You've got Gorsuch, who's not, I mean, he's conservative, but he's not ultra-conservative. You've got Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh, thank you. Kavanaugh has had some interesting non-conservative rulings since he's been on the bench. It will be interesting. I don't think it's a given if it gets to the Supreme Court, this election. I don't think it's a given that this falls immediately into the president's lap. Do you?
I don't. Ken, I've said this before, whether you're conservative, liberal, progressive, people ought to want someone like ACB or a constructionalist because they apply the law as written that's passed by our duly elected officials. And when people get on the Supreme Court, they tend to gravitate towards the center. So I don't think you can count on that. In fact, this Kavanaugh and Gorsuch both have voted against the president on some issues. And Amy Coney Barrett's going to be the exact same. She's going to apply the law, and I've predicted it before. I do not believe this Supreme Court, with her on it, is going to throw out the ACA. They'll throw out the individual mandate,
right,
the tax penalty, but not the entire ACA.
Yeah. Most of these, you say some of these justices drift to the center and not the right. Then you have John Roberts, who drifts to the cocktail circuit in Washington,
yes,
D.C. for his decisions.
Andy, listen,
thank you so much for your insight and your time. Good stuff. Stay well. Stay healthy. We'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Same to you and your listeners. Thank you, Ken.
Coming up on 820. 820, time to check in on traffic. Here he is.
The name is Bootsy, baby. And if you love music like I love music, then you can't live without this music.
You got that right.
And music certainly wouldn't be here without
700 WLW. Happy birthday, Bootsy Collins. 69 years old today, Cincinnati's treasure. She's got this brand new song out to help struggling musicians meet their pay. Music helps. Let's listen a little bit. Now we'll talk to old Bootsy's on my show, 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 months ago, talking about this. Let's welcome in to WLW. He's our hometown guy, Bootsy Collins. Bootsy, how are you on this glorious day?
Oh, I'm doing really good. The sun's shining, look like. I haven't got outside yet, but it looks good. I want to be checking it out.
I love the song Stars. You got some all-stars on this. Dr. West, Bela Fleck, Steve Jordan, who's a great drummer. How did you put this one? How'd you put this one all together?
Well, you know, I was working on the album, my new album, and when the pandemic hit, and it was like, okay, I need to switch gears here for a minute, and I started feeling like I needed to say something in a song. So I started to search through my tracks that I had recorded and, you know, try to see what would fit. And I found a track. I said, well, wow, I just need a fresh voice, just one fresh voice if I could get one. And I had been talking to Emmy Sunshine, who was on the way up here. We was getting ready to do the Red Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, that got canceled. You know, they started canceling stuff. So, you know, that made me even more inspired to try to get this happening. So we started talking back and forth, and I started to send her the song, and we started going back and forth over the phone and email. And the next thing you know, we came up with this track, Stars.
Yeah.
Wealth and power have no advantage. The rich and poor have no dissension. It's a battle cry for freedom. United we can
you know, we wanted to the funds to benefit Music Cares, because they had been taking care of a lot of musicians around, and we felt like, let's do this for them, the musicians, because everybody forgets about all the great musicians we have to keep us going through hard times like this.
You made the statement, you said, we've forgotten about people's feelings in the process. We've forgotten about it. Everybody has feelings. You got them, I got them, everybody's got them. We've kind of put that on the back burner. I think that's a major problem, right? Don't you?
Yeah. And I think music kind of helps, you know, keep that on the front burner instead of the back burner.
Yeah.
So not that it's an all-out cure, but it helps, you know, to keep your feelings feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be around here being a human and not feeling anything, you know?
That's right.
But yeah, that's kind of what it's trying to come to. So we have to try our best to keep that at the forefront, and
yeah,
that's what we're doing.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. I like a sex machine. Get on up. Get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, I like a sex machine.
Like I said, you know, the more I stay around these youngsters and trying to keep up with them, and, you know, I these grandkids, now I know you know about that stuff, and so, you know, the more you stay around that, the more inspired you become, you know, and it's keeping things, ooh, as cool as they can be anyway.
Get up, get on up.
How did I get there from here, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's the frightening part, is when you look back and you see that and you say, my goodness. Well, listen, good luck with the song and the album. I'll catch up with you. If I don't bump into you on the street, I'm sure I'll see you someplace. Thank you, my man. You stay healthy, okay?
Thank you, too, Ken. All right.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
You say, brother?
Bootsy Collins on my show about 4 or 5 months ago. Brand new album coming out here just in a couple of days. 69 years old today. Happy birthday, Bootsy. Happy birthday. 827 News Radio 700 WLW.
Want your finances to rule? Then listen up. Don't be a tool.
It's time for the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
And Joan Doniger with us once again as we inch closer to the opening bell on Wall Street. And Joan, good morning. How are you on this Monday?
Just fantastic.
Just fantastic?
Fantastic.
I'll take fantastic any day of the week.
All right.
Procter & Gamble, which you might know, is based here in Cincinnati. They've got a disinfectant out. Now, it doesn't have the name recognition of Lysol or Clorox, but what does it have?
Oh, it has something extra. Procter & Gamble says Microban 24, which it just introduced back in February, just before COVID hit, has been approved now by the Environmental Protection Agency as effective in killing the virus that causes COVID-19. Microban is already on pace to become a $200 million a year seller. It's a sanitizing spray, you know, the answer to Lysol and Clorox.
I'll spray it all over myself tomorrow before I come in here. Is that darn good?
There you go.
Facebook launching cloud-based gaming on the social network. Cloud-based gaming. I guess that means it's available all the time, huh?
That's right. You'll be able to play them instantly. No downloads required. It isn't a separate cloud gaming service. You don't need any hardware. You'll be able to play them the same way you currently play games on Facebook if you do that. The first set available this week includes Mobile Legends Adventure, PGA Tour Golf Shootout, and WWE Supercard.
Wow. Wow, that sounds like it's geared towards the male gender. I'm just guessing there with wrestling and golf. Here's the thing about the toy industry. We talked about this in the last half hour, how it's doing well during the pandemic, and yet another indicator of that here from Hasbro.
That's right. And games, again, are the leader right here. Hasbro's seen a lot of success in games this past quarter of the board game variety. The game segment led sales last quarter. Things like Monopoly. Toys have been flying off the shelves during the pandemic as people buy to do. And usually does really, really well with movie tie-ins. Doesn't really have any movie tie-ins now. A lot of movies haven't been released, the big adventure movies. So games back up.
All right, bell rings here in less than an hour, and it's been gloom and doom leading up to this, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's going to be a new package of coronavirus aid from Washington, at least before the election. So S&P futures are down 33, NASDAQ futures 98, Dow futures down 291 points. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Joan Doniger on News Radio 700 WLW.
Thank you, Joan. Welcome back. 840 News Radio 700 WLW. In the last several days, plots to kidnap the governors of Michigan and Ohio have been thwarted. FBI thwarted Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's abduction. And now here yet another abduction plot that was scotched, one that was going to involve Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. What's going on here? In fact, there is a report now in a magazine that says that the Dallas field office of the FBI is warning about the likelihood that far-right extremists will use the presidential election as a flashpoint to further sow anti-government sentiment. What's going on here? Standing by to talk about this is Bill Johnston, an attorney and former federal prosecutor. Bill, good morning. How are you on this glorious Monday?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, this is not fine. Obviously, the Whitmer abduction plot was one that garnered a lot of headlines. And, of course, here in Ohio, the plot to kidnap Mike DeWine garnered even more headlines. What's going on here? Why this? Why now?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, but when groups of that nature, that is the sort of the militia-type group, which is considered a far-right-wing, often considered a far-right-wing group, when they perceive that they're getting ready to lose some rights or lose their position or lose, their philosophy about things, they often take action or talk about taking action. And often there's more bark than bite here, but you never know. You can't trust that there would be. But usually, and often it is a perception that Second Amendment rights will be lost or the they're not going their way. I mean, and that happens on both sides of the spectrum when a side believes they're not getting their way. And instead of voting, which is what normal people do, they do goofy stuff like this.
Yeah. So you've got far-right extremists trying to pull this off. You have Antifa on the far left doing what they do. Where are the normal people in this world, Bill? Where are the people like you and me?
I think that the normal people are, thank goodness, the 99.9% of everyone else, but we just don't make a lot of noise.
Yeah, yeah.
And the goofballs and the weirdos and the dangerous, violent people, are making more news, make more noise, and seem to flourish in these situations.
You know, I'm looking at the big glass window to my right, and it's a perfect view of the FBI field office here in Cincinnati, and the line is true, I think. They've got to be right 100% of the time. People like the people that wanted to take Governor Whitmer or Governor DeWine or want to sow these seeds of unrest, they only have to be right once, and they win. It's a very, very tilted game. I'm just wondering how high you think the antenna is up right now with the FBI, knowing we're only 8 days away from an election that a significant amount of people are going to be disappointed in.
For the field offices to have alerts like you referenced a moment ago, I would imagine that they are very much on guard. Unfortunately, you know, it is just a time where a fuse may be lit or has been lit that causes them to pop off. And thankfully, after 9/11, the Joint Terrorism Task Force offices were created, which is this combination of federal and state and local officers and agents and police, and they have pretty good intelligence usually. They have informants, and they work these areas quite a bit, and they, you know, thankfully, they catch a lot of this ahead of time.
We think of terrorism, and we think normally, well, it's coming in from some country in the Middle East. Domestic terrorism, we only tend to get really interested in it when it happens. I think we've probably let our guard down as a country as to what comes in from outside the country. But inside the country, I don't think we've been as vigilant about it as we, I mean the average guy, you, me, everyone else. I don't think we've been as vigilant about it as we have about terrorism that would come from abroad. Do you sense any, what would it take to change that? Would it take a cataclysmic event like an elected political official being abducted? Would it take something that would border on, God forbid, what happened in Oklahoma City back in the 90s? What is it going to take for us to get a little more vigilant about this domestically?
Well, we hate to admit that one of our own citizens would do something internally, you know, violent that is in the nature of terrorism. Everybody just hates to think that. And in fact, you mentioned Oklahoma City. Right after that happened, I mean, within the first few hours, the Department of Justice presumed and believed that was radical Islamic terrorism. And for a pretty good little while, all the markers indicated that to them. And it was tough to swallow the idea that, golly, this was not only American, this is a former soldier that did this.
Yeah. Bill Johnston has been practicing law for over 30 years, 14 in the U.S. Attorney's Office. He has a podcast out right now, Justice Facts, a podcast that he co-hosts. So, okay, next Tuesday happens. Nothing happens on Wednesday or nothing happens on Thursday of next week, but that doesn't mean something won't happen. I guess that's what we're saying here, right?
I think we probably need to be on guard for a little bit, probably certainly through the inauguration, if it is not Trump. Maybe if it is Trump, quite frankly, because the other side of the spectrum may be just as furious, and I mean the extremists.
Mm-hmm.
The violent extremists, which is such a small percentage of both sides.
It's not going to be somebody that puts a yard sign out and their candidate doesn't get elected. It's going to be, like you say, Antifa or these far right extremists as well.
That's right. Probably through the inauguration and then thereafter a little bit. I would think we need to be on guard.
Right. Bill Johnston, attorney and former federal prosecutor. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
8:47 and 48 seconds. Let's check the traffic one more time. 8:53, Ken Brew for Mike McConnell. Scott Sloan is in, top of the hour. He's going to talk to David Giffels. I'm not familiar with Mr. Giffels, but apparently he's familiar with Ohio's uncanny ability to pick a president. That's at 9:06. And speaking of that, it's Election Day, 2 weeks away. You know, it's all anecdotal until they actually count votes, but the Trump rallies have been enormous all over the country. Great enthusiasm. Biden, not so much. In fact, President Obama stumping for Biden in Florida yesterday attracted a grand total of 400 people. 400. So what's going on here? ABC News has a new poll out that still says it's Biden's election to lose. Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst, joins us right now at 700 WLW. It sounds like it is Biden's election to lose.
It does. And the reason is that there are two very key differences between this year and 2016. President Trump trying to rerun his famous victory, and for good reason, because, look, he defied all of the predictions. He defied all the pundits, including me and everybody else at ABC, and he knew better. He knew how to run a winning campaign, so he's trying to do it again. Here are two problems our numbers show. The first is his opponent. 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton's favorable rating was very much underwater, but minus 14 points. Trump was minus 22 points, but Hillary was minus 14 points. She was a very unpopular figure.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is plus one at this point, which reinforces a key point, Ken, that Trump is having a lot more trouble running against Biden than he did running against Hillary. If you think about Sleepy Joe, it doesn't generate anything like the same passion that crooked Hillary did.
Yeah.
And the second difference, of course, is the pervasive nature of the coronavirus. 78%, more than 3 out of 4 people in Cincinnati and everywhere else say they're worried about getting it or someone close to them getting it. That means it seeps into every corner of American life. And every attempt that Trump has made to change the subject to law and order, to take one very good example, to attack Biden personally and try to raise issues about his son Hunter's financial dealings, talking about Biden and China, all of these ways in which he's tried to change the subject have not really worked, because this is an issue that affects every single family in Cincinnati every single day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yeah, he can't... Trump can't shake that. You're right. I don't think, at least at this point, the Hunter Biden laptop, computer, Ukraine connection, it doesn't seem to be taking traction. COVID is a huge thing. The thing that Trump does have going for him, though, is there's a poll out, I think it's Gallup, that says 56% of the country feel that they're better off today than 4 years ago. And the economy, considering COVID, is doing well. And if I'm Trump and I'm running around the country right now, that's what I'm touting. And I leave all this other stuff behind, don't you?
No, Ken, you're right. I think there are all the polls show there are two elements that work in Trump's favor. One, as you point out, is people have always had more confidence in Trump's handling of the economy than on other issues. And that people do feel, to some extent, that the economy is rebounding. The other factor that we've talked about before is that there's a very clear enthusiasm gap. Trump voters are much more enthusiastic about voting for Trump than Biden voters by many, many percentage points. The energy and the passion on the Democratic side is largely negative. It's anti-Trump. It's not pro-Biden. People are not jumping up and down at Biden rallies and saying, go get him, Joe. This is not Bobby Kennedy. This is not Barack Obama. This is not even Bill Clinton. Biden has none of the ability to generate that excitement. And that definitely is a Trump advantage. But what we're seeing in the early voting is that the passion that on the Democratic side to get rid of Trump is replacing effectively any real enthusiasm for Biden. That's what driving people to vote.
Sure. You and I had a conversation a couple of months ago. This is Trump versus Trump, and Biden just happens to be on the ballot. you know, but
that's a good way to put it, Ken.
But here's what I find interesting, and I don't know, you may have an explanation for it. I see this week Biden is getting out of places, not just Delaware and Pennsylvania. He's getting out into places around the country, which he has been reticent to do up until now. Trump is all over the place. He's holding these 3 and 4 rallies a day. Do you think Biden is coming out now sensing a knockout punch, or do you think they've got something in their internals that are telling them he's got to get out because these states are still in play?
That's a good question. But if you look at where Biden's going, they're tempted to really expand the map. For instance, Biden's going to Georgia tomorrow. Now, Georgia was a state that was a solid Trump state 4 years ago, and yet Biden would not be going there if their numbers didn't tell them that the state was in play. It's also true of Ohio. You know, that's a state that was solidly for Trump last time, and Democrats think it's in play. I just looked at the numbers before we went on the air. And Ohio, if you look at all of the polls averaged up, is virtually a dead heat. And as you pointed out earlier in your broadcast, Ohio has always been the best predictor of national politics. It's voted with the winner almost every single election for well over 100 years. So Biden senses a chance to expand the map a little bit and win more comfortably. The other factor, of course, is Democrats are worrying about the Senate. They would love to pick off Senate seats in a state like Georgia, a state like North Carolina, because if Biden wins, he's going to be a much more effective president if the Democrats also win the Senate. So that's what they're starting to think about as well.
It's always fascinating when you get this close to the finish line. Steve Roberts, I can imagine what your work week is going to be like in the next 8 days. And you know what, buddy? You can have it. Thank you for joining us.
This is the 14th election I've covered, so I'm a little bit used to it.
Thank you, Steve. Good luck. Stay healthy.
You too, Ken. Okay. Bye-bye.
And as I said, just think. 1 week from Wednesday, all of these ads disappear. They all go away. The campaign signs better go away, too. You're supposed to get them out of the ground within a day of the election. We'll see who adheres to that. Sloney's next. He'll take you right till noon. I'm back in tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. for Mike McConnell on 700 WLW.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.